This is News Talk.
Well, of course, it is all about indoor dining and hospitality on the front pages this morning. The Irish Daily Mirror, In We Go, and that's INN. Indoor drinking is back today as more than 3,000 pubs open their doors after nearly 500 days of closure. A photograph of Amen Irish in County Kilkenny yesterday getting the pub ready for those visitors to arrive today. The Irish Daily Mail, warning as pubs reopen, people have been urged to use common sense and embrace indoor dining and drinking safely as the hospitality sector fully reopens its doors today for the first time in 7 months. That man, Eamon Irish, the publican, also photographed on the front of the Irish Daily Star, and he's pictured with a hurl and he's balancing a pint of Guinness on the hurl. Not a bad skill to have, in fairness. And their headline is, Irish Daily Star, it's hurl over. Again, obviously, playing on puns there, as 3,000 pubs open today after 497 days of closure. Now, it's all very positive on those front pages. The Irish Examiner reminds us, though, that a quarter of pubs, restaurants, cafes, etc., won't be reopening today indoors. And this is all because of a staffing crisis. So the Examiner says that thousands of pubs and restaurants will reopen today for the first time in 2021. But a staffing crisis means that up to a quarter of them will remain shut. 2,500 so-called wet pubs will open for the first time since the pandemic struck. But industry leaders say staff shortages have threatened the reopening for many. And obviously that's the availability of staff, because you would assume that some staff have just decided after nearly 500 days of closure to find a different career, or they've moved on or whatever, and there just isn't the availability of workers there. And presumably you might need more workers to try and cope with all the different guidelines surrounding indoor dining. Also, on a related theme, the Irish Examiner, Gardaí are examining social media content threatening President Higgins. Death threats were posted on social media after the President signed the Health Amendment Bill into law, which is the legal basis for the vaccine passports, and a number of anti-lockdown and far-right Facebook pages called for President Higgins to be killed or forcibly removed from Áras an Uachtaráin, and Gardaí now examining some recent social media content there. Rather concerning that it would go to that level of anger that people start threatening the life of the country's president. On to a different issue. And there will be more about this on News Talk Breakfast this morning. It's the front story of the Irish Times, and this is the question mark over schools. The government is determined to reopen schools in September, according to the Irish Times, amid confidence that Ireland can withstand a wave of COVID-19 infection driven by the Delta variant. And when you hear that line, that the government is determined to reopen schools in September, I suppose for some people, they didn't realise that there was even a question that schools could be closed in September. I think for a lot of families, they assumed that once the schools opened earlier this year, that was it, off for the summer holidays, and that they would reopen. And I'm sure it will be a surprise to hear that this was even in doubt. Now, Minister Norma Foley will be on News Talk Breakfast. She will reassure families as well that schools will open in September, but never great on the 26th of July to start even questioning it, I suppose. Government sources in the Irish Times adamant that second level education would resume in the autumn, despite concerns among public health officials that the wave could grow following the reopening of indoor dining today before peaking in September. And a very simple quote from a senior coalition source: schools will reopen. So more about that, as I say, on News Talk Breakfast. Also, the Irish Independent this morning tells us that we need some sort of look again at how we report the COVID-19 figures. So health experts have been told to leave out COVID-positive patients from daily case figures if they're not in hospital because of the viral infection. I suppose many people may not have realised that when you go into hospital, you could go in with a broken leg, but they would test you for COVID-19. And then you would be classed as someone who has COVID-19 in hospital. But you're not in hospital because of COVID-19. You're in hospital because of something else. But you may also happen to have COVID-19. Now the government has written to NPHET. They've sent a letter saying that we need to leave them out of the hospitalisation figures because they want a true reflection of the hospitalisation numbers. Because obviously we're watching hospitalisation numbers very carefully, and you don't want to report people as being in hospital with the virus if they're not in hospital because of the virus. Now, others would argue, does it really matter? What's the difference? They are still in hospital with COVID-19. They may just not be in because of the virus initially. So it's a bit messy, but NPHET's being asked to look at it. Weather also on the front of the paper is the Irish Independent. After the heat wave comes the risk of flooding, something we all need to be aware of for later today and over the next couple of days. Hazardous driving conditions and possible flooding today. Just amazing that you can go from that glorious weather yesterday and then this risk of flooding today. But that is what's called living in Ireland, I suppose. The Irish Sun this morning, and indeed a number of the papers, cover Wayne Rooney. Allegations there, photographs emerging. Wayne Rooney called the cops, according to the Irish Sun, after photographs emerged of him in a hotel room with three women. He partied with three women, including Taylor Ryan, who's photographed on the front of the Sun, and they were apparently, allegedly, all those words, in a €70 a night hotel room. Now, interesting on the front of the Irish Times, talking about education earlier there. I'm sure this will probably crop up with Minister Foley later, but some books being studied by Junior Cert and Leaving Cert English students feature disturbing and sick content and material that is clearly unsuitable for minors. That's according to parents who have complained to the Department of Education. The department has received more than 40 complaints on the issue of some of the books chosen for the English syllabus in recent months, with one email to Minister Foley describing The Handmaid's Tale as nothing but sadistic, upsetting and of no moral learning or value to students. Another concerned parent said that they were perturbed that their teenager was studying the novel Room by Irish author Emma Donoghue, and essentially the emails have been released to the Irish Times under the Freedom of Information Act, and one of the parents said they were appealing to and begging the department to change the curriculum. Actually, staying with the whole area of books, a really interesting story in The Star this morning, something I had never thought about before, but I would have assumed they'd earn more money than this, but authors received an average of under €32 last year for having their books borrowed from libraries in Ireland. Figures published by the local government management agency shows a total of €200,000 was paid out to writers, illustrators and translators for the lending rights of their books by libraries in 2020. And the maximum you can earn as an author if your books are obviously lent out at libraries, it's capped at €1,000 and a minimum of €2. But if you look across the water in England, you can earn €7,700 for your books being rented out. So that's eight times the Irish limit. And I think I heard before that if you're even quite a successful author, you only get about €1 a book if your book is sold. And now you're getting very, very little if your book is lent out at a library as well. So I imagine there will be some reaction to that from the Irish Writers Union. Already they're in the papers saying that the rates are too low. It certainly sounds like they're pretty low indeed. J Lo all over the papers this morning, and Ben Affleck, because it's all official now that they are back together. Just amazing. They're recreating photos from when they last went out in 2002, and now it's back in the papers again, and they certainly can still grab a headline or two when their romance is back on. Final story for you, if you're like me and you hate when you order something online and then you hate the waiting period of when it's going to arrive, and then you get the note saying that it's being shipped, and then you sort of spend time looking out the window hoping that it's going to come soon. Well, according to the Times of London, Marks & Spencer is about to become the first big retailer to launch same day or even half day clothing delivery. So imagine you've an event on tonight that you could get on the website this morning, order a dress or a suit or whatever you want to get, and you could have it by lunchtime or by evening, just in time for that event. It's very exciting news for some people, and it would mean that shoppers could get their hands on last minute lingerie, school uniforms and dresses, obviously not for the same person, for the evening, with orders online picked and delivered from M&S stores. The big difference is, basically what they'll do is, instead of having a warehouse for online, you start using the stores in local towns and get the clothes from there. Exciting for some of those online shoppers, no doubt. Anyway, those are the stories making the headlines.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com, this is Newstalk.